Okay. So, tonight we're going to be finishing up the melacha of Makav HaPatish, doing the Makav HaPatish on Makav HaPatish. We're going to finish up the last details of the inyanim we've been discussing, and then in Mirtz Hashem next week, we're going to move on to our next melacha, which is going to be the melacha of Kosev. Kosev is the next melacha in the Perek, so that's going to be the next melacha that we're going to do. Fine. So tonight's show, we're going to break down into two parts. In part one, we're going to deal with one last detail in the bottle cap sugya. There's another shita out there on bottle caps, and I got a lot of requests to do it thoroughly, and it happens to have major halachic ramifications. So that's going to be part one of tonight's shir, finishing up the bottle cap sugya. And then in part two, we're going to discuss a contemporary issue that comes up regarding making soda on Shabbos. I'm not saying that it's the most common shaila that comes up, but it's a good way of finishing off Makom Patish. It's going to fill in some of the details that we missed. And it's always good to see how the poskim analyze the shaila. You get a good feel for how they take the principles and apply them in practice. So that's how we're going to end off the malacha of Makom Patish. Fine. So let's start with part one, going back to the bottle cap sugya for one last detail. 2 weeks ago, so we discussed the three core shitos on opening bottles on Shabbos. When you open a bottle on Shabbos for the first time and you separate the ring and the cap from the ring, so we have three different perspectives on the halachic analysis of that situation, and that all stays the same. But there's a fourth shita out there on bottle caps, which in a certain sense is more peripheral, but in another sense it's going to be Rav Eliashiv, so you can't really call Rav Eliashiv peripheral. But so that's what we're going to be doing tonight, Rav Eliashiv shita on bottle caps, and we're going to see all the interesting applications and implications of Rav Eliashiv's shita. So that's the agenda for the first part of today's shir. Now, Rav Eliashiv, I mentioned 2 weeks ago, Rav Eliashiv is going to prohibit opening bottles on Shabbos. He holds that it's usher to open up bottles for the first time on Shabbos, and he agrees with our third shita from 2 weeks ago that there's a Makav HaPatish problem. He agrees that there's a problem of Makav HaPatish, which we already analyzed. But he also brings up a new concern, and that's what we're going to be focusing on. And that's what I'm calling shita number four, which is Rav Eliashiv's new concern that other poskim don't bring up regarding bottle caps. And that is the malacha of Mechatech. Mechatech is another one of our Lamates malachos. That is the malacha of cutting. If you do an act of cutting on Shabbos under certain circumstances, which we're going to discuss, so that violates the malacha of Mechatech. Says Rav Eliashiv that when you open a bottle on Shabbos for the first time and you separate the cap from the ring, that's going to violate the malacha of Mechatech. Because how do you separate the cap from the ring? There are these pre-made perforations. It doesn't just randomly get separated from the ring. There are perforations that are pre-made to facilitate separating the cap from the ring. When you cut along those perforations, that is going to violate the malacha of Mechatech. So that is Rav Eliashiv's shita on bottle caps, that he prohibited it. Aside from Makav HaPatish, he brings up the malacha of Mechatech. Rabbi Sokol told me that when he was in Eretz Yisrael many years ago, so they came up with this new method of trying to avoid the whole bottle cap controversy. They came up with these bottles that had no ring, and one of the main purposes of the ring was to show that the bottle wasn't tampered with. So they came up with an alternative way of showing that the bottle wasn't tampered with by putting an additional seal of plastic over the cap. So they have this cap without a ring, and they put this seal of plastic over the cap, and you tore it off on a perforation, and that's how you would open the bottle. This way is you can avoid the issue of Makav HaPatish. So Rabbi Sokol said that word got out from Rav Eliashiv that it was a very nice solution to Makav HaPatish, but you're not going to solve my problem of Mechatech. I still hold that this is problematic because you're cutting off this plastic on the perforation. So that is Rav Eliashiv shita, which we're going to now analyze thoroughly, regarding bottle caps, the issue of Mechatech. Now, obviously, we had a number of poskim 2 weeks ago that permitted opening bottles on Shabbos. We had that Rav Shlomo Zalman had said that it is mutter to open plastic bottle caps on Shabbos. The Tzitz Eliezer and Rav Avadi Yosef hold that all bottle caps could be opened on Shabbos. And so obviously, they all were not concerned for the malacha of Mechatech. And the Shulchan Shlomo spells this out explicitly. The Shulchan Shlomo says that the malacha of Mechatech is not going to apply by bottle caps, and that's why he's going to permit opening up bottles in certain circumstances. So we're now coming up with a machlokes pertaining to melachas mechatech, whether there's a violation of this melacha of cutting when you open up a bottle for the first time in light of the fact that you're separating the cap from the ring along the perforations. That is the machlokes that we're now being introduced to, and that's what we're going to analyze. And the truth is that this is really why I'm doing this fourth shita. If it just was like a fourth peripheral shita in the sugya of Makom HaPatish, it could be that I wouldn't have done it. But this is a very nice opportunity to get some ABC Yesodos in Melachas Mechatech. Otherwise, we never would have seen this Melacha. And we're going to see some major practical outflows and implications of this analysis. So that's what we're going to do right now. Any questions on the basic facts? Okay, just a quick mazel tov to Yonah Laster. Yonah is sitting here. He had a baby on Monday. So he's Mechayev like all of us. He's in person having had a baby on Monday. So Hill's Mechayev the Aniyam, and Yonah's Mechayev everybody else. Okay, fine. So in order to analyze this machlokes, we're now going to take a step back for a few minutes and work on developing the basic definition of Meleches Mechatech. And then we're going to come back to this machlokes between Rav Shlomo Zalman and Rav Eliashiv. So we're going to move over now to a Gemara and Daf Ayin Dalad Amud Beis. There are two Gemaras there on Ayin Dalad Amud Beis, which are the primary sources on Meleches Mechatech that are the starting point for everyone to start building their definitions of Mechatech out of. So let's spell it to two Gemaras, and then we'll take it from there. The first Gemara is at the top of Ayin Dalad Amud Beis. The Gemara there says that the person is cutting down branches, you're cutting branches to a smaller size, then if you're kapid amash chasa, meaning you're makbid on its meshach, on its size, if you're makbid on its size, that is a problem of mechatech. If you cut branches down and you're makbid on the size that you cut it to, that is a violation of meleches mechatech. And so this Gemara gives us our first starting definition of meleches mechatech, and that is cutting down to size. If you cut something down to size, that is the basic definition of mechatech. In Hebrew, we call it makbid al midaso. If you're makbid al midaso, if you're makbid, you care to make it a certain midah, to make it a certain size. That is the basic definition of meleches mechatech. Fine. So that is Gemara number one. Then we come to a second Gemara, which is at the bottom of Daf Ayin Dalet Omen Beis, towards the bottom. The Gemara there tells us the following halacha. The Tosefta and the I think Rish Lakish there are discussing a case where a feather was plucked off of a bird. And after the feather was plucked off the bird, so you want to separate the two parts of the feather. There's a soft part of the feather and a hard part of the feather. They both serve different purposes. The soft part is used for pillows. The hard part, I think, is used for weaving or some other purpose. You want to separate the two parts of the feather. So it says the Tosefta and Rish Lakish that if you clip the feather of a bird, that is going to be a violation of Meleches Mechatech. Why is it a violation of Meleches Mechatech to clip the feather of a bird? So the Tosefta tells us, or Rish Lakish tells us, Rashi explains, because you're cutting it in a specific spot, you want to separate the soft part from the hard part. So you're not randomly cutting it, you're cutting it in the right spot to get the soft part on one side, the hard part on another side, and so that apparently also is subject to Meleches Mechatech. Now, in this second piece of Gemara, you're clearly not cutting it down to a measured size. You're not, measuring off 4 inches, 5 millimeters. You're not cutting off a certain measurement and cutting it down to make it mechatech. So apparently we see from this Gemara some kind of loosening to the definition of mechatech, that even if you don't cut it down to a measured size, that's also going to be subject to meleches mechatech. So this is basically all the primary sources on mechatech, these two pieces of Gemara, the first one being the basic idea of makbed al midaso, cutting it down to size. Anytime you cut something down to size, that is the basic definition of mechatech. And then the second Gemara giving us a refinement, which is that it doesn't have to be to a measured size. You when you cut the wing of a bird in the right spot, you're not randomly cutting it. You're cutting in the right location to get the soft part on one side, the hard part on another. Even though you're not making any measurements, that's also apparently subject to meleches mechatech. Now, fine. So those are the primary sources. Any questions? Yonah.
What does it mean to get the soft part on one side and the hard part on the other side?
Yonah is asking, what does it mean to get the soft part on one side and the hard part on another? So I guess if you imagine half of it's soft and half of it's hard, if I randomly, half the feather is soft and half is hard, the feather itself. I guess you want to say the quill part is maybe harder, and the feathery part, right, is softer. So we're trying to separate those two parts of the feather. Fine. So after analyzing the primary sources, we're now ready to see what the contemporary poskim did with this Gemara in analyzing the issue of bottle caps. So just to set it up one last time, again, we have our machlokas whether opening a bottle for the first time on Shabbos is a problem of mechatech, or malach of cutting, in light of the fact that you're separating the cap from the ring. Shlomo Zalman says that it is not a problem of mechatech. Well, Yashav says that it is a problem of mechatech. We're trying to analyze what is that machlokas. So based on the primary sources, we're now going to be ready to give a more fundamental analysis of this machlokas, just to explain where I'm getting my sources from. So Rav Moshe Mordechai Karp is a big, call it a Talmud of Rav Eliashiv. He has a piece in some kind of kuntris pamphlet called Halichos Sada. In one of the volumes of Halichos Sada, so he has a big piece expressing Rav Eliashiv Shita on why plastic bottle caps are usher, all bottle caps are usher to open. And his primary analysis in that piece is Malachas Mechatech. So what I'm going to explain is Rav Shlomo Zalman and Rav Eliashiv's Machlokas based on the way of Karp explains Rav Eliashiv Shito. In the piece itself, he describes how I saw Rav Shlomo Zalman says this, so I went to Rav Eliashiv and he said that. And then I went back to Rav Eliashiv and he said that. So everything I'm be explaining just is based on his interpretation or direct quotes from Rav Eliashiv. That's what we're going to be doing now. So based on what Rav Karp writes, the fundamental machlokas is going to come down to a very subtle chakira as to the underlying definition of Malachas Mechatech. The poskim had a debate as to how to define the rigid definition of Mechatech, and it's going to have major ramifications in many contemporary shilohs that come up. So we're going to spell out the chakira, and it's going to be very subtle, so everyone's just going to ask me what's the difference. And as we plug it through cases, in Mirta Shem, we're going to start seeing what the difference is between these two definitions. Fine. So the chakira goes like this. What is the underlying definition of mechatech? The basic definition is cutting down to size. Anytime you cut down to size, that is mechatech. What's the precise underlying definition of mechatech? So we're going to set down two definitions, and then we're going to show how they play out in major halachic shilas. Possibility number one is to say as follows, that maybe the final definition of mechatech is cutting down to a desired size. When you cut something down to a desired size, that is mechatech. I have something large, and I want to make it smaller because I want this thing to be smaller. I desire that it be smaller, so I'm cutting it down to make it a size that I want. When you cut something down to a size that you want, that is the malacha of mechatech. That is possibility number one. Fine. Possibility number two, and again, it's going to sound like the same thing, but we're going to show how it's very much not the same thing. The second possibility is to say that mechatech doesn't care if you want the size or you don't want the size. It's not about whether you want the smaller size or you don't want the smaller size. All that matters is if you cut it with precision, if you make a precise cut and make it into a specific size. I cut something down to a specific size. Why I do it, I might not care about the size. But for whatever reason, if you cut something down to a specific size, that is the violation of Malachas Mechatech. So this is how Rav Karp defines it. He explains, based on Rav Eliashiv, that, we're going to see, that cutting down to a specific size, irrespective of your desires, whether you care or not, that is going to be an alternative definition to Mechatech. So we're setting down two similar definitions to Mechatech. What is the underlying definition of the Malacha? Is it cutting down to a desired size, where I'm cutting it down because I want it to be smaller? I want this thing smaller, so I'm cutting it to the size that I want for my desire. Possibility number one. Second possibility is you're not cutting it down to a desired size, but to a specific size. For whatever reason, I'm cutting it in a specific spot. When you cut it in a specific spot, you make it a specific size. That itself is a violation of mechatech. What's the nafkamina in this chakira? So we're gonna have a whole series of nafkaminas, but the first nafkamina is bottle caps. We're having a shayla. I open up my bottle for the first time. I separate the cap from the ring on the perforations. Does that violate the malacha of mechatech? So let's plug it into the two definitions. Starting with the first possibility, if we define mechatech as cutting down to a desired size, I'm cutting something down to a size that I want. So what do we say about bottle caps? Well, it doesn't matter what we say, it matters what Rav Shlomo Zalman says. Rav Shlomo Zalman spells out that this is not going to be mechatech for this very reason, because mechatech has to be where you want it to be the smaller size. In this case, a person doesn't really care the exact size of the cap. It just happens to be that the manufacturing company made life very convenient for us by putting perforations at a certain spot. And so we're not going to bother finding another spot to open the cap on. So we cut it along the perforations. So it's true we're cutting along perforations, but we don't really care the size of the cap. If the cap would be a little bit smaller, a little bit bigger, we don't technically care about the size of the cap. And therefore, it's not a problem of mechate. So this is how Rav Shlomo Zalman responds to Rav Yashav. He doesn't quote Rav Yashav, but he says that it's not a problem of mechateich because you don't really care about the size of the cap that you're making it into. It's true you're cutting along perforations, but you don't care about the size, and therefore that is not a problem of mechateich. Moving over to our second possibility, if we define mechateich now in the second approach, is to say it has nothing to do with your desire. All that matters is precision. If you make a precise cut and make something into a specific size, that is mechateich. So working with the second definition, so Rav Karp says that Rav Yashiv argued on Rav Shlomo Zalman with working with this definition. He went to Rav Yashiv multiple times based on seeing Rav Shlomo Zalman's psak, and he said that Rav Yashiv argued based on this definition. Rav Yashiv says that mechateich is making any precise cut, which makes something a precise size, is mechateich. And so therefore, by bottle caps, when I open the cap, whatever your reason is for cutting it along the perforations, whether you care or not about the size of the cap does not matter. What matters is you're cutting it in a specific spot. You're making the cap a specific size. That violates the malacha of mechateich. Anytime you cut with precision, you don't make a random cut. I'm not randomly cutting it. I'm cutting it in a specific spot. I'm making my cap a specific size. That is together the malacha of mechateich. So that is why Rav Yashiv argued on Rav Shlomo Zalman. And that is the point of contention in this machlokas. So just to quickly recap, I know it's a very subtle machlokas. Rekarp basically spells this out. They're arguing over the definition of mechateich. Rav Shlomo Zalman is saying it has to be cutting it down to a desired size. And in this case, he emphasizes you don't really care about the size of the cap, technically speaking. It's convenient. They made it. Once it's convenient, you're going to go with their perforations, but you don't technically care. Whereas if you go with the Rav Yashiv, he says it doesn't matter whether you care about the size or not. All that matters is if you're cutting with precision. If you make a precise cut and you make it a precise size, that's it. In this case, you're cutting it in a specific spot. It's not a random act of cutting. You made it a specific size. That is a violation of melechus mechateich. Okay, Ben. Ben is asking, is it true that a person doesn't care about the size of the cap? If it was much higher, then it wouldn't be much of a cap. It would be more like a lid. So the answer is, you could be right. You know, you said the words much higher. So you're right. If it's much higher, it's not going to work. What if it was a little bit higher? Do you really care about this specific spot? If it was a little bit higher, a little bit lower. So we have to take each cap. But Rav Shlomo Zalman is saying that you don't really care the exact spot you cut it on the ring. It's just, you know, they did it for you ahead of time, so you're not going to change the size of the cap. And obviously, they set up this whole mechanism where it's a certain size, you know, in order to screw on and screw off. But you don't technically care about the size of the cap. And so therefore, he's arguing that it shouldn't be a problem of mechateich. Yeah. Yeah. Ben is asking, what do I mean by specific size that's not desired? So Rav Karp says that at the end of the day, you cut it in a specific spot along the perforations. It's not like a random cut. You don't have a piece of paper. You randomly cut it. Here, since they're perforations, so the perforations, you're cutting it in a specific spot. And once you make it a specific spot, you made a specific size to this cap. So that was why Rav Yashiv felt that this was going to be a problem. Since the perforate, you're cutting on a very, you know, direct line, a very straight line, and you're making a precise cut, so that itself is a violation of mechateich. Penny. I'm sorry, do you mind elaborating? Okay. Okay. Penny is asking that Rav Yashiv and Rav Shlomo Zalman seem to fit into the two Gemaras. The first Gemara said, "Kapit al mashchasa," that you're makbid on size, you desire a certain size. The second Gemara, by the feather, emphasizes cutting it in a specific spot. It doesn't seem to care about the desire or the size. So it happens to be that Penny is 100% correct. If you go through the different sources, the emphasis in these two Gemaras is absolutely, you're 100% on the ball. Rav Yashiv is mainly arguing is shita from that second Gemara. Rav Karp is coming from that second Gemara. He's saying, look by the feather. Is it really a desired size? It's a, you're just making a precise cut. That's how Rav Karp is responding. And Rav Shlomo Zalman is responding back. Very much so that these two Gemaras are their primary sources on this debate. Just want to keep going just because for the sake of time. So let's continue on. Fine. So now what we're going to discuss is three practical applications of this machlokas as to how to define the malacha of machadech. Practical application number one. The first application is the issue of opening cans of soda on Shabbos. I got a lot of requests to not skip the sugya of opening soda cans on Shabbos because we're doing Makom HaPatish. So I guess I'm have to follow the popular demands. We're going to do that sugya right now for a few moments now. Opening cans of soda on Shabbos, we're going to see it's going to be an application of this machlokes, Shlomo Zalman versus Rav Eliashiv. So what is the halachic perspective of opening soda cans on Shabbos? So there are two potential problems that need to be contended with when considering the halachic perspective of opening soda cans. So let's first lay out the two potential problems, and then we'll see how the poskim address them, how they paskin on the issue. The first potential problem of opening soda cans comes out of a sugya on Daf Kof Mem Vav Amud Aleph. We've mentioned the sugya a few times in the past, and I guess this will probably be the last time that we mention this sugya as we finish off Makom HaPatish and Boneh. So one last time, going back to the Mishnah on Daf Kof Mem Vav Amud Aleph. The Mishnah on Kof Mem Vav Amud Aleph states the following halacha. It says that if a person has a barrel of figs and it's a closed barrel, it is permissible to break open the barrel to access the figs. Shover adam es achavis, you could break open a barrel in order to access the figs that are within the barrel. That's the halacha in the Mishnah. But the Mishnah sets down one proviso, which as spelled out by Rashi there is as follows. The Mishnah says that when is it permissible to break open this barrel? Provided that you don't make a Pesach no'eh, as long as you don't make a nice opening. If you make a nice opening when opening the barrel, then it's going to be problematic. What's the problem if you make a nice opening in the barrel? So the Torah basically spells out in Shin Yadalab Sif Aleph, the issue is Tikkun Mana, the Malacha of Makom HaPatish, that when you make a nice hole in this barrel, you're essentially giving a new attribute to this barrel. A few moments ago, I had a closed barrel. Now I gave it a new functional attribute. I gave it a nice opening. It's a new function for this barrel. That's called making it into a new item. You're basically producing this new item. You're making a barrel with a hole now. You're recharacterizing this item by giving it a new attribute. And therefore, that's a violation of Makom HaPatish. Anytime we finish the production of an item, it's Makom HaPatish. Well, if you give it a new attribute and you basically recharacterize this object, that's also a form of producing something. That's a problem of Makom HaPatish. So that's the Mishnah here on Kuf Mem Vav Amud Aleph. And from this Mishnah, we learn a new big-time application of Makom HaPatish, which is the Isser of Asiyas HaPesach, that if you have some type of container and you puncture a hole in the container, if that hole is defined as a Pesach No'eh, it's defined as a nice opening, it makes it more functional, it makes it more usable, that is going to be a violation of Makom HaPatish. That's the Mishnah on Daf Kuf Mem Vav. Fine. Now, before we're ready to apply that to soda cans, there's one more crucial gemara there on Kuf Mem Vav, which takes a little bit of the edge off of that halacha in the Mishnah. And that is the halacha of Rabbah at the bottom of the gemara. The gemara at the bottom of Kuf Mem Vav, Amud Aleph, brings Rabbah who says as follows. Rabbah says that the Isser Deraisa of Asiyas HaPesach only applies if you make a two-way opening, an opening that's called Lahachnis Ulahotzi. You make a hole that's meant to put stuff into it and to take stuff out of it. If you make a two-way hole, that is Aser De'oraisa. That is the Iser De'oraisa of Makom HaPatish when it comes to Asiyas HaPesach. But if you make a one-way hole, if you make a hole in a container and it's only meant to be Lahachnis, to put stuff into the container, or if it's only meant to be Lahotzi, to extract stuff from the container, but it's not a two-way hole, that is only going to be Aser Midurabanan. So that is Rabbah's qualification to this Iser of Asiyas HaPesach. Those are the primary sources on this new prohibition from Kuf Mem Vav Amud Aleph. Now, based on this sugya there on Kuf Mem Vav, so we now have our first major issue with soda cans, and that is the Isser of Asiyas HaPesach. When you pull the tab and you open the can, so you're making a very nice hole in the can. It's a very nice size, helps you drink from the can. So perhaps that should be subject to the Isser of Asiyas HaPesach. That is problem number one. Now, assuming it would be subject to this prohibition of Asiyas HaPesach, so would this be an Isser Dereisa or an Isser Derabanan? What type of Isser would this be? Well, so what kind of hole is this?
This hole, it seems like it's a one-way hole.
Right, so this is a one-way hole. When you open a soda can, so I don't think many people are trying to put stuff into the can. You're usually trying to get stuff out of the can. So this is a one-way hole. So the soda can is a hole that's only lahotzi, not lahachnis. So that's only going to be usr midrabanan. Potentially, the isra on the table is an isra derabanan. Shlomo Zalman spells this out. I put on the Mermakomos, the Mincha Shlomo, his tshuva on soda cans. And he spells out that at best this is an Isser Derabanan because it's a one-way hole. Fine. So that is problem number one. Problem number two is the following issue. When I pull the tab and I open the can, so we have our malacha of machatech. Machatech tells me they can't do an act of cutting something down to size, cutting in a precise manner. Well, how does that can just magically open up when you pull the tab? The answer is perforations. They make these pre-made perforations in a nice hole around the area, and a nice circumference around the area you're planning on cutting out. You pull the tab, that area gets pushed down, and so you're basically cutting along perforations. So the second major problem becomes melachas mechatech. Maybe opening a can of soda should be subject to melachas mechatech. So those are the two major issues with soda cans. The first issue being the isser of asiyas haPesach, making a nice hole, and the second isser being the isser of mechatech. So let's just stop quickly for some questions, and then we'll see how the post can said on this issue. Yonah.
Is it maybe different because of like a grama? Because you're not actively cutting it, you're more using something to push down.
So Yonah is asking, maybe this should be called a grama when you open the can of soda. It would seem to be, it's an interesting way of looking at it, but at the end of the day, when you pull it up, you are still using your force to directly push it down. So I don't think that fits under the gather of grama. Ben. Ben is asking, are we talking about the old cans that completely remove the tab, you mean? The tab? Or is it the new cans where you just push it down? So I don't know. If there's a difference, then we'll worry about it. I think it shouldn't matter, but if it matters, then it'll matter. So Ben is asking if maybe it'll be less of a problem if it's not completely removed. So I'm not sure. Interesting point. Penny.
We're talking about like the mitzvahs of cans. Is the actual like the cover part of the can?
Or is the cover part of the can? So it seems to be the can is one big sealed kli, and you're puncturing a hole in the kli when you pull the tab. That is how the poskim are treating soda cans. Fine. So what is the halacha?
What if they're not?
Okay, so that might change the halacha. What if the top is a separate piece of metal? Okay, so it seems to be the top is welded on, and therefore it's treated as one big kli. I guess after tonight's shiur, if you want to send it to those people who make all these cool inventions to make things in a kosher way, so maybe they can work it out in a way that'll be kosher. After we did the soda cap shiur, so Yoli Leibowitz showed us this new contraption that they had, that you apparently can put on this contraption onto the can, onto a bottle, and it pulls off the bottle with the ring. So it's this cool device that avoids all the issues. You pull off the bottle with the ring, and now it certainly works. So if you want to take tonight's cheer and just send the link on the app to these makers of that device and see if we could figure out some way of making kosher soda cans, it could certainly be done if you just follow the directions of tonight's cheer. Fine. So with that, so what is the conclusion on opening cans of soda on Shabbos? So this is a machlokes between Rav Shlomo Zalman versus Rav Eliashiv. They have a double machlokes on opening cans of soda on Shabbos. Starting with Rav Shlomo Zalman, he says that it is perfectly permissible to open cans of soda on Shabbos because neither of the two problems are going to apply. Problem number one of Asiyas HaPesach apparently does not apply. He feels that the hole that is produced by pulling the tab is not considered to be a nice hole. It doesn't fit the specifications of Asiyas HaPesach. You have to scrutinize his tshuva a little bit to figure out why exactly it's not called a nice hole, but he considers it to not be a nice hole. He emphasizes that there's not a lot of tircha and effort and precision that went into making this hole. And he feels that that's going to help downgrade, mitigate viewing this as an asiyas of Pesach. He also emphasizes that you throw it out right away. And so he kind of makes a few different points there to argue that it's not called an asiyas of Pesach. That's his reason why problem number one does not apply. And in terms of problem number two of mechateich, so Rishon LeZalman is l'shitaso. What is the definition of mechateich according to Rishon LeZalman? Cutting down to a desired size. When you cut something down to a desired size, that is the malacha of mechateich. Well, says Rishon LeZalman, a person doesn't really care the exact size of the hole in the soda can. Obviously, you don't want it to be too big or too small, but within a certain margin of error, you don't really care the exact size of the soda can. Why do you cut it along the perforations? For convenience. The manufacturers probably did some analysis to figure out the nice size to make for the soda can to make everybody happy, and they made perforations. So for the sake of convenience, I pull the tab and I work with the hole that they made. Am I obligated to make my own hole to prove that I don't care about their size? Says Rishon LeZalman, you're not obligated to make your own hole. You're using their hole for convenience. A person doesn't really care if the hole is a little bit bigger, is a little bit smaller. Therefore, it's not a problem of mechateich. Mechateich is cutting it down to a desired size. You do not care about the size exactly. It's not a problem of melechas mechateich. So that is Rishon LeZalman's heter to open cans of soda on Shabbos. Moving over to the Shita of Rav Eliashiv, so he argues on both accounts. He says that it is absolutely forbidden to open up cans of soda on Shabbos because of both problems. Problem number one, it's the Isser of Asiyas HaPesach. You're making a nice hole. It's a very nice hole. It makes it very functional. You wouldn't be able to drink out of the can if it didn't have a hole. And it was a lot of cheshbon went into, I'm sure, a lot of cheshbon went into analyzing the size of the hole, the soda can. And in terms of Isser number two, says Rav Eliashiv, mechateich is also going to apply because what is the definition of mechateich according to Rav Eliashiv? Making a precise cut, making something a specific size. When you cut along perforations, you're cutting in a specific spot. You're not making a haphazard cut. I'm cutting it and I'm making it a specific size. That is going to be a problem of melechas mechateich. And so Rav Eliashiv argues on two accounts and feels that soda cans is strictly forbidden. So that is all application number one of our machlokas about the gather of mechateich. We had a machlokas for Shmuel Zalman versus Rav Eliashiv how to define mechateich. And we saw that how it played out in the issue of soda cans on Shabbos, that one of the major issues of soda cans is whether it should be subject to mechateich, where Shlomo Zalman and Rav Eliashiv come out to be l'shitaso. Okay, Mr. Katan. Okay, so Mr. Katan is pointing out that if we we certainly are not advising people to make a separate hole because it would be very dangerous and you could have sharp edges. So that certainly is recommended, not recommended. Does that impact on the analysis of the halacha? It wouldn't seem to impact on the analysis of the halacha. If it had to be done, it probably could be done. I guess we wouldn't drink from the can, we'd pour it out. But it's a fair point. Okay, any other questions on soda cans? Pretty good, Dove. I got soda cans and connected with soda caps. Not bad, no? Okay, fine. Okay, fine. Okay, fine. Fine. Let's move over now to application number two. Fine. Our second application is the issue of ripping toilet paper on Shabbos. What is the halachic perspective of ripping toilet paper on Shabbos? So, under typical circumstances, the poskim tell us that it is usher to rip toilet paper on Shabbos. The person should rip toilet paper before Shabbos because of the malacha of Koreya. Koreya is going to be our malacha. Next week, we're in Mirtz Hashem, we're starting Kosev. We're going to do Kosev and then Mochek, and that'll finish up Perek Abona. And then we're going to move on to the next Perek, which is Haorig. And the first malacha in Haorig is Koreya. So Koreya we're going to be doing in three malachas after Kosev and Mochek. Koreya is the malacha of ripping. If you rip or tear under circumstances which we'll have to analyze, so that's the malacha of Koreya. And the poskim say that ripping toilet paper is going to be a violation of Koreya. So under regular circumstances, it is prohibited to rip toilet paper on Shabbos. The question becomes in extenuating circumstances. What is the halacha in extenuating circumstances in an emergency situation? So you don't have pre-cut toilet paper. What is the halachic perspective? So the poskim list various methods that could be employed to try to figure out how to use toilet paper on Shabbos, which I'm not going to go through. But what we're going to discuss is the b'di'evad last case scenario that there was other options don't work. That no other solution exists. So the poskim say that it is mutter to rip toilet paper kilachar yad, that if a person wants to use a shinoi and rip the paper in a backhanded manner, that would be permissible for the sake of kavod abriyas. The Shmir Shabbos Gilchus brings down that it is permissible to cut toilet paper for the sake of kavod abriyas in a backhanded manner. Let's say you want to cut it with your elbows. So that would be permissible for kavod abriyas if none of the other solutions are available and there's an extreme emergency, that will be permissible. Now the question becomes, in this emergency situation, can a person cut the toilet paper on the perforations? It's probably going to be quite difficult to cut the toilet paper with your elbows, not on the perforations. We'll try that out at the perm spiel, you know, like cutting toilet paper not on perforations with your elbows sounds like a very complicated procedure. So is it mutter to cut them along the perforations? What is the halachic perspective in that situation? So once again, we have a machlokes between Rav Shlomo Zalman versus Rav Eliashiv. Starting with the shita of Rav Shlomo Zalman. So the Shmir Shabbos Kehilchos brings down, and this seems to be, he's quoting based on Rav Shlomo Zalman, that this is permissible. And the Shluchan Shlomo also brings this down from Rav Shlomo Zalman, that in this b'diavad situation where there's no other alternative and you're cutting it with your elbows, let's say you're doing a shinoi, it is mutter to cut it along the perforations. Why is that permissible? Because there's no issue of mechatech. Mechatech is when you're cutting it down to a desired size. You're cutting it down to a size that you desire. And in this situation, you don't really care about the size. I don't care if the toilet paper was a little bit bigger, is a little bit smaller. Obviously, it can't be too big or way too small. But within reason, you don't really care about the exact size. Why am I cutting it along the perforation? For convenience. You're doing it for the sake of convenience. They made life a lot easier for you because they realized that sometimes you have to use your elbows. And that's why these companies put perforations presumably on the toilet paper. And so therefore, that is not a problem of melechetz mechatech. Mechatech is cutting it down to a desired size. This is not a desired size. Therefore, it is perfectly permissible. That is the shita of Rav Shlomo Zalman. And Rav Moshe Mordechai Karp, in his essay, says that he spoke to Rav Eliashiv. And again, Rav Eliashiv prohibits this activity. It is not okay to cut the toilet paper on the perforations because of melechetz mechatech. At the end of the day, when you cut it on the perforations, you're making it a specific size, and you're cutting it in a specific spot, which makes it a specific size. That is included in the definition of mechatech. So recommendation during the week, work on cutting toilet paper with your elbows, not on the perforations, in case this ever happens, because if this does happen, you can't cut it on the perforations. So that is the second machlokas between Rav Shlomo Zalman versus Rav Eliashiv, which once again is another application of their ongoing debate about how to define the malacha of mechatech. Any questions? Okay, fine. Finally, one last final quick application of this machlokes, and that is the following issue. The issue of opening small restaurant-sized condiment packets or sugar packets. You know, these mini ketchup packets, let's say, that have perforations in the corners. So can you open these small condiment packets on the perforations? So once again, we have machlokes between Rav Shlomo Zalman versus Rav Eliashiv. Starting with Rav Shlomo Zalman, so the Shmir Shabbos Kehilchosa brings down, and the Shulchan Shlomo bring down, Shlomo Zalman permitted opening these packets on the perforations, that there's no problem to open sugar packets, these restaurant-sized sugar packets or ketchup packets on the perforations, because there's no issue of melechetz mechatech. Why am I cutting it along the perforations? For the sake of convenience. You really don't care the exact size of the cut. You don't care where the size is exactly. You want it above the sugar level or above the ketchup level. That certainly is desired. But beyond that, you don't really care where the cut is made. You're just doing it on the perforation for the sake of convenience. Therefore, it is perfectly permissible. So that was Rav Shlomo Zalman's psak by ketchup packets and all those condiment packets. It's permissible. Whereas, once again, Rav Karp says he spoke to Rav Eliashiv and Rav Eliashiv prohibited this. He said that this is aser based on melechetz mechatech. You're cutting it in a specific spot. You're making a specific sized, condiment packet. That is a violation of melechetz mechatech, which is prohibited. So that is the third application of this machlokas. We'll probably just summarize. And the soda discussion was not really so important. Anyways, I don't think anyone has soda machines. So if anyone wants to discuss, we can discuss afterwards. I'm just going to quickly stop for questions, and then we'll summarize, and then we'll start Kosev next week. Yona.
Some of these little packets and things like that don't have a full perforation. It's more just like a notch that helps you to begin the tear. But then the rest of it sort of is very random. It's not specific. It's not a specific size. Does that count as a perforation?
Okay. So Yona is asking the following question. Some of these packets have a small perforation to start the cut, but then after that, the perforation doesn't continue and you just cut it in a random manner. So would Rav Yashiv permit that? So to be absolutely honest, I didn't think about that. Shaila, off the cuff, it would sound okay. It would sound okay that you're not really, you know, you're just starting in a small spot, but you're really ending off in a haphazard manner, particularly according to Rav Karp's Hesber of Rav Yashiv. See, this is actually where it becomes important. Rav Karp explained the Fir Rav Yashiv, it's not the mere fact that you're making a specific cut, but that you're producing an item with a specific size. So the fact that for a split second you're making a specific cut wouldn't seem to do the job. You need the whole cut to be specific to make the whole thing a specific size. See, I kept saying a double lashon when I'm saying Rav Yashiv Shita, specific spot, which makes it a specific size. In this case, you start out at a specific spot, but the size is not specific. So it would seem to be permissible, but I wouldn't recommend posketing based on the app. But anyways, I'm going to say something over, which may hopefully help out a little bit on that issue. But that was a very, very good point. Any last second questions? Okay, fine. So just to summarize, today was really ended up being a Malachas Mechatich discussion. So I guess we finished Malachas Mechatich. Once again, the sort of discussion was just a few last details, which are not so important in the scheme of things. It's not good to do another week. So I guess we did Malachas Mechatich after Malachas Mechatich. It was a good excuse to learn through Mechatich. We had a Machlokas by soda caps. Machlokas was, how do you define Mechatich? The basic definition is cutting down to size. Machlokas was, is it a specific size or a desired size? And that played out by bottle caps. And then we had three applications. The first one was soda cans, which was Makav Patish. So, okay, maybe we are also in the Makav Patish department now that I think about it. Soda cans is one application of that machlokas. The second application was the issue of toilet paper. And the third one was the restaurant-sized condiment packets. Just to point out, so again, I'm certainly not coming to Paskin at all. Rabbi Sokol told me that on these various issues, there seems to be a split in the Velt, how the Velt acts. He said that the Velt didn't really accept the Shlomo Zalman's heter by soda cans. Again, I'm not posketing though. That's what he told me, just an off-the-cuff discussion, so everyone can discuss this with their poskim. But he said that the Velt did not really fully accept Shlomo Zalman's psak by soda cans. But he implied, Rabbi Sokol seemed to say that the Velt did accept Rav Shlomo Zalman's psak by mechatech, that Rav Shlomo Zalman's definition of mechatech is more accepted. Certainly in Eretz Yisrael and the Bnei Brak, where they're following Rav Yashiv, that would not be the case. But in other locations, so Rabbi Sokol indicated that Rav Shlomo Zalman's psak is more widespread. Fine. Okay, I think we're going to stop now. We can hack out after Marv. Okay, everyone have a wonderful, wonderful Shabbos. And in Eretz Yisrael next week, we're going to start Melechas Kosev. Shabbos.
Thank you.
Thank you. Horish.